At Grainger, we're for the ones who specialize in saving the day and for the ones who've mastered the art of keeping business moving. We offer industrial-grade supplies for every industry with same-day pickup and next-day delivery on most orders, all backed by real people ready to help. So you can get the right answers and products right when you need them. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Today is Thursday, March 7th. We're talking about everything from military assaults to what Facebook CEO says about its future. And here's a hint, it's a lot different than what the site is today. Plus, what to know about a famous game show host and how Google will book your next dinner reservation. Then hang out after the news for Thing to Know Thursday's bonus interview. Welcome, welcome to The Newsworthy. All the day's news in less than 10 minutes. Fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Erica Mandy. Thanks so much for being here. You ready? Let's do this. The head of Homeland Security insists it really is a crisis at the southern border, saying she supports President Trump's national emergency and his plans for a border wall. In fact, she calls the U.S.-Mexico border a, quote, humanitarian catastrophe that needs stricter laws. Homeland Security Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen testified on Capitol Hill yesterday and had a tense back and forth with House Democrats. USA Today says the lawmakers grilled her over family separations at the border, asking her to admit that children were held in cages and slamming her for not being able to say how many migrants have died in government custody since she took over. But she says there were no cages and that President Trump's zero tolerance policy was meant to increase prosecutions for those breaking the law, not to separate families, although that did happen. Speaking of the border, NBC News cites documents showing the U.S. government had a list of dozens of Americans to stop at the border for questioning, and they include reporters and activists. Some say it shows people are targeted just for speaking out against the government's actions, but Customs and Border Protection says it's all part of legitimate investigations. Senator Martha McSally from Arizona was the country's first female fighter pilot to serve in combat. But this week, she said she was raped by a superior officer. She served in the Air Force for 26 years. She says she didn't report it because she, quote, didn't trust the system. She shared her story during an emotional congressional hearing on military sexual assaults. A spokesperson said the Air Force is appalled, deeply sorry, and committed to eliminating that kind of behavior. Big changes coming to Facebook's future, if its CEO is telling the truth. Mark Zuckerberg says he now sees a future of private messages and small group chats, not so much public sharing. Zuckerberg detailed a bunch of possible changes for the future in a 3,000-word blog post this week. TechCrunch says it's all about encrypted, secure, and private messages. His post said messages would only be seen by you and the person you're sending your message to, and they would even have an expiration date to eventually disappear, creating a, quote, digital living room. Zuckerberg said he also wants to link Instagram, WhatsApp, and Facebook Messenger so people can message each other between apps. He didn't mention a timeline for all of this. Of course, plenty of people are skeptical, wondering how Facebook plans to make money in that scenario, and if Zuckerberg is all talk just to avoid regulations. Facebook has faced a lot of pushback over its privacy policies and practices. CNBC says some companies have even pulled advertising from the site because of it. Even though it's still the most popular social media platform in the world, The Verge cites new research that found the number of people using Facebook is actually going down. An Edison research survey found 15 million fewer people use Facebook today than just a few years ago, mostly teens and millennials. You've probably heard by now that artificial intelligence and robots are taking over some jobs. Well, CNBC reported data for those soon-to-be-out-of-work workers about the fastest-growing jobs for the future. Government stats show the top 20 jobs expected to be the fastest growing gigs, seeing double-digit growth. The top of the list? Installing solar panels. The job pays about $40,000 a year, but doesn't typically require education beyond high school. Also included in that top 20? Everything from massage therapists to forest fire inspectors to information security analysts. So usually we take a break for a sponsor right here, but today I have an announcement. I'm so excited to share a new way for you to help support The Newsworthy. A lot of you already know that it takes my very small team and I a lot more than 10 minutes to create this show for you each day, and we love it. We love helping you stay informed, but we can't do it alone. So now you can become a Newsworthy Insider for the cost of just one latte a month. You'll be supporting the show, and you'll get some Newsworthy swag, plus you'll be the first to know about giveaways, meetups, and more. And here's why that support means so much to us. One, it allows us to keep doing bigger and better things for you. And two, we don't have to rely so much on sponsors. We love our sponsors, but we also like being able to say no to them if necessary and still keep the lights on. So if you think you get just $5 a month worth of value and time saved out of the Newsworthy, I would be so honored and grateful to have you sign up as an insider. It takes just 30 seconds to sign up. It's so easy. Just find the link right in your podcast app in the episode description. Again, look for the link in today's episode description, then hit support now. It works best right on your smartphone, but you can also go to thenewsworthy.com/insider to sign up. Thank you so much in advance. Now back to the news. All right, a few things to know about Amazon today. Its new healthcare venture finally has a name, Haven. Remember, Amazon is partnering with JP Morgan and Berkshire Hathaway to pull this off. Bloomberg reports the name and the new website provide the most detail we've heard since the joint venture was first announced more than a year ago. The companies have said they want to get rid of profit incentives in healthcare, improving insurance and lowering costs. They plan to start with their own employees at their own companies, then see where it goes from there. And speaking of Amazon, it announced it's shutting down all of its pop-up retail stores. There were 87 of them, mostly in malls and stores like Kohl's. The Wall Street Journal says now the pop-ups will close by the end of next month. And finally, Amazon's Alexa has a new feature in case you want to know the name and artist of the songs you're listening to on your Alexa smart speaker. You just have to enable Song ID to get a song's info before it plays. Google's voice assistant wants to book your next dinner reservation, and now the feature is officially available in 43 states. It's called Google Duplex. So how does it work? When you tell Google's voice assistant to book a reservation at a certain restaurant, either that restaurant already partners with Google so it can just book online, or the Google voice assistant will actually call the restaurant for you and make the reservation. It's meant to even sound like a person on the phone. Then it follows up with you with a calendar invite and notification about the confirmed time. Right now, Duplex is available on Google Pixel phones in most states, but Google hopes to roll it out to other devices, including iPhones, in the coming weeks. R. Kelly is now in jail. It happened after that emotional, intense interview aired on CBS this morning. But it wasn't about the interview. It was about child support. CBS News reports he owes $161,000. And apparently, he won't be let out of jail until someone pays that amount. Also this week, reports of new allegations against R. Kelly involving a teenager. Page Six reports police are still investigating that one. He's already set to be in court later this month on 10 counts of sexual abuse charges. He pleaded not guilty and still says he's innocent. He is a well-known and much-loved game show host, but Jeopardy's Alex Trebek announced some sad news yesterday. At age 78, he has stage 4 pancreatic cancer. He posted a video on YouTube to make the announcement. He admits the prognosis is not great, but that he has hope. He's going to fight this, keep working, and he plans to beat it. He even joked that his contract says he has to host Jeopardy for 3 more years, so he has no choice. Trebek has hosted Jeopardy for more than 30 years already. The show's former champs and fans were quick to show their support for him on social media. All right, well, if you were a fan of the 90s sitcom Mad About You, well, it is coming back. With the original cast, Paul Reiser and Helen Hunt will be involved. Deadline says the revival will likely be set 20 years later, and the show is set to come out later this year. And that's it for the main news today, but it's now time for Thing to Know Thursday, where a different expert explains a different thing to know only on Thursdays after the news. This week, we're not only talking about International Women's Day, which is tomorrow, but we're also talking about the way companies you buy from try to use the day to get your attention, and why sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't, and what you as the consumer should look out for. My guest today advises high-growth brands on these very issues. She's been named a marketing expert to follow, a top marketing writer on LinkedIn, and she's the creator of FauxFeminism.com. She's also an author, podcaster, and frequent speaker. So here's my conversation with Katie Martell. Hi, Katie. Thanks so much for coming on The Newsworthy.
Hey, Erica. Thanks for having me.
All right. So every year on International Women's Day, which is this Friday, we see a ton of companies using the day for their own messages and their own marketing. Sometimes it goes well, sometimes not so much. But before we dive into some of those examples, when did this become so popular for companies and brands to get involved and take part in this day?
Well, it's funny you ask, because International Women's Day itself has been around for over 100 years. It actually started being celebrated in around 1910, 1911, around the world. It was more formally made a real thing in 1975 when the UN started to recognize it. And in 2011, President Obama, for the 100th anniversary, actually proclaimed the entire month of March to be Women's History Month. And so it's only recently in our kind of recent history become such an enormous global movement. But in 2004, this is my unofficial historian perspective, you started to see, do you remember that campaign from Dove? Dove's campaign for real beauty. And it showed in 2004, 2006, a bunch of ads that celebrated real beauty, you know, showing the effects of photoshopping, revealing to the world that only 2% of women saw themselves as beautiful, and just starting to change the conversation, groundbreaking for its time. And it really helped position Dove as a champion of women's rights and did very well for them as a business. That's really when things started, this trend known as femvertising, which is using the ideals of feminism in advertising. You start to see a lot more companies jumping on this bandwagon. And now in 2019, International Women's Day has kind of become the day of femvertising campaigns, and I expect to see even more this year.
There's also a lot of talk about millennials and how they want value-driven, outspoken companies more than maybe previous generations. Is that true, and what do you think about that?
It's partly true and partially false. In fact, the real truth is that every single brand is competing with more companies than ever. There are simply more brands now than there ever have been. And so you see a lot of brands trying various tactics to stand out, differentiate, and to earn loyalty and trust with consumers any way possible. It's no longer enough to have the biggest budget and be able to afford the biggest billboards or perhaps the most expensive Super Bowl ad. And so in a sense, most consumers are starting to wise up, regardless of their age, to the fact that there are brands that speak to them on a much more personal level, that speak to their values, not just what they need objectively, you know, what a shoe looks like or what a car does, but rather speak to what you value. In a recent study, Edelman found that 76% of buyers, regardless of age, buyers think that CEOs of businesses should actually take the lead on change. That's how companies are creating loyalty with consumers of all ages.
In some ways, it could be risky, right? I mean, every year around this time, there are a couple of companies who make news headlines for controversial or offensive ads when they're trying to put out a message. Even Dove had a controversial ad. How risky is having a strong message like that?
Thanks to the advent of social media, right, we consumers are able to amplify our opinions much louder than we were beforehand, before social media was so ubiquitous. You actually saw Dove make another misstep in the UK. They had an ad that featured bottles, shampoo bottles, in what they called a shape of women's bodies. Now, if you Google this, the images that you'll find have these very strange bottles and these very oblong shapes. Some are pear shaped, some are big, some are small. It's just this kind of, it kind of missed the mark because it basically, on Twitter, a whole bunch of consumers looked at this and said, you know, Dove, I don't look like this. You know, Dove, I have arms, you know, please advise. You know, a lot of people just dragged Dove for this attempt at continuing their habit of supporting women through their marketing. This one, the bar was set too high for this campaign to really resonate. And so you saw a lot of feedback, negative feedback. I work with companies to help them understand whether the moves that they make are good for business or bad for business. But as a feminist and as a consumer, we have to ask, is it good for society as well? And there's an old sentiment from Bill Birnbach, who's a creative director of advertising back in the day. And he said, if you stand for something, you'll always find some people for you and some people against you. If you stand for nothing, you'll find nobody against you and nobody for you. So you start to see really risky, almost seemingly inappropriate ads, like, for example, the Colin Kaepernick ad from Nike. You start to see moves by companies like Patagonia, who recently donated $10 million that they got from tax benefits back to organizations that were helping, green initiatives, just in line with their company values. The real risk, and this is the other question of, is this good for society as a whole? We have to think about this from a consumer point of view. On the surface, these ads support women. Behind the scenes, I have found many examples of companies who don't live up to the values of the advertising they're portraying.
Yeah, so many companies are talking the talk, as they say, instead of walking the walk behind the scenes. So what can we expect this year? Anything different?
I'd actually, unfortunately, the skeptic in me thinks that we'll see a lot of campaigns this year that are produced by well-intentioned marketing agencies and brand-side marketers that still fail to live up to the expectations of the women's rights movement. My advice to any consumer listening to this right now is to not take any advertisement you see at face value. That's good advice anyway, but especially International Women's Day, take a hard look at some of these companies before you share their video on social and share the message, which is obviously going to be a positive, uplifting message. Check out whether that company is actually doing the work to hire women. You can use sites like getledbetter.com that actually tracks how many female executives are at organizations. Before you celebrate the brand, do your homework. And then if they do support women, give that video a share, share the message, promote such a positive, inspiring message.
And another great place to check those companies this week is her website, fauxfeminism.com, F-A-U-X, fauxfeminism.com. You can find the link in today's show notes, along with links to all the stories we talked about in this episode. Just go to thenewsworthy.com, click episodes, and find today's date. Thank you for listening, and thank you for signing up to be an insider. As always, The Newsworthy is here for you by 4 in the morning every weekday, so we will chat again tomorrow. Have a great day.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.